I'm the youngest of a big family of 12 kids. So her mom is actually pretty close in age to me and used to live near here. And about 8 weeks ago, she had trouble with her kidneys. She was retaining all kinds of water. So they took her in. It's nephrotic syndrome. About 90% of kids that get it are fine. They give them a long course of steroids and their kidneys kick back in. But the other 10% is what she's in because it's 8 weeks in and nothing's working. She was back in the hospital last week. She's the youngest of three, so she and her husband have two other little kids they're taking care of at the same time. So her grandfather, my brother-in-law George, called Ray last night and said they wanted to have a time of prayer around this time with all different people around the country, whoever they could get. Just to pray that somehow she won't have to go on the next set of medicine, which I don't know much about, but it's not something they want her on. So, okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to get you involved in this. Any two of you, it says, the Bible says, any two of you agree with touching any one thing, it shall be done for you. I believe that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything we can ask or think. I remember several years ago, I had a seizure. Just came on me all at once. And my neighbor across the street was an elderly lady that I would take her mail in for her. And so one day I was talking to her, and she's talking to me about my condition. And she said, I was praying for you, but I didn't really know how to pray. And so she said, I was praying for you one day, and I saw all of these other prayers going up to heaven in your behalf. And I just put mine in with them and sent them along with the rest of them. So this morning, there's going to be a lot of people praying for this little girl. I believe God wants to perform a miracle. I believe that. And so if you'd like to get involved, you'd like to come Carol, if you'd like to kneel here or wherever, or if you'd like to sit there and we'll anoint you. But would you want to come and stand with her or whatever you want to do? This is up to you. Okay? James says, if any of you are sick, call for the elders of the church. And I thought this Father has done, called for the elders of the church. And we can be anointed. And James says, God will heal the sick. We're serving a miracle working God. I have that experience. I know he can heal because he has me. And I'm faithful. I'm thankful and grateful for that.
Recording in progress.
Our Father, we are grateful that we can bow before you this morning in behalf of this little girl. You have a plan for her life. I'm convinced of that. You brought her here for a purpose. And sometimes you use these things that brings honor and glory to you in such a way that could not be in any other way. And so I bring her to you this morning, Father. I bring to you in faith and confidence that you're listening. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. And we're crying out to you, Father, in her behalf. And I pray in the name of Jesus, as we anoint Carol with oil in her behalf, I pray, Father, that even now you'll go to that hospital room, you would lay your hands on this little girl like you did when you was here, and she will be healed through your divine touch. We have that privilege this morning, and we're thankful and grateful that your people can come together in one accord, in one agreement, and you are listening, and you are not limited by distance. You're able to go to that hospital room. You can put your hands upon her, and she can feel the healing virtues running through her body. All the people that is praying in her behalf, I believe you'll be moved by that, and you will perform that miracle as needed. Whatever your will, Father, is for her, that will be accomplished through your Holy Spirit, for your glory, and for your honor. And so we give you praise even now for what you're doing and what you're going to do. Bring comfort and hope to these parents and help them to feel also that comfort that comes only through you. And we give you praise even now, Father, for all that you're doing. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And you have said, if we ask anything in your name, you will do it. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Just doing what God tells us to do, and the miracle is up to him. Praise his name. Okay. Kathy's got the announcements for today. Yes.
Good morning. As you can see, I am not Pastor Russ. I'm Mrs. Pastor Russ. Russ has been pretty sick this week, so we do appreciate your prayers. He is better, but not good. So we have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. So if you can remember him tomorrow morning, that would be greatly appreciated. This week, there is a lot going on. The usual, we have walking club. 9 a.m. at the park, ladies' prayer breakfast Tuesday morning, and the biggest event of the whole month is Saturday, the men's breakfast. Boy, we sure hope Russ is better, huh? And also on Saturday is the kayaking picnic. It is weather permitting, so I'm assuming that we will be in contact with Chris and Pastor Bob to find out if there's any kinks in that plan. We do have board meeting tomorrow night, so we look forward to seeing everybody there. Baby bottle collection. You have 2 more weeks, I think it is. It's till Father's Day, so you keep collecting that change for those unborn babies, of which we have 2 coming. Continue to pray for our twins also. They're in their final run, and yeah, it's getting real. So, it's getting real. I also wanted to wish my friend Bobby a happy 91st birthday for Bob Harder tomorrow. Happy birthday, Bobby. He's in the 90 Club. So, I believe that's all the announcements Russ told me about. I'll turn it over to Dan.
Good morning, everyone. I get the privilege and honor of congratulating at least one graduate I know of, and this is a special one because I've seen her grow up from the church. We went to church at the Methodist Church here in West Jeff, and then we came out here. So we've seen her from this high to, well, maybe this high, I don't know. But we're happy that you're here, and we are praying for your future and future successes. So Alex, if you'd come up, we just have a small token of our appreciation for your graduation.
Gotta watch the battery here. I want the battery dying. Let's stand, shall we? If what we've just seen and done, if it doesn't make you shout to the Lord, I don't know what it does, but it does. Let's sing. Shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. The power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am.
Good. I quit singing. I want to listen to the choir. You guys make a great choir this morning. Amen. Let's read together, shall we? Book of Joel, verse 3. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. But as Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Thank you. May be seated as we continue.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets. To look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when He returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever He shall reign. So let it be today, the Hymn of Heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Father, we are thankful this morning we don't stand here in our own strength. We are only here through the strength of the power of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank You for what You're going to do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dave, I'd like to close with that song again. Would you do that? Okay. What a song. What a message. It's time to go to prayer, and we are so thankful for the spirit that we sense in our midst this morning. And I'm not going to run over the congregation this morning, so I'm going to get a younger person. Alex is going to do that for us this morning. So if you have a request or you have a praise, you raise your hand and Alex will run that microphone to you.
Not that fast.
Okay. Okay, anyone? Right here.
I have a praise. A couple praises. One thing for this man. If it weren't for him, we would not be in this church. The day we came here, he and then Judy Gunther greeted us, and we were home. And I thank God, and that was 8 years ago. And I also wanted to thank God for my kids, my grandkids. You know, we've had problems with our son. He's doing fine, which is great. But today is my 57th wedding anniversary. I want to thank my husband for that. He sent me a godly man, and I just pray that for everybody. So
amen.
I thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. What a praise. Anyone else?
Yeah.
That's one.
I wanted to share that we took Seth to the airport on Tuesday. So he's out at Boston. So thank you for your support getting him out there and for your prayers. And we got to talk to him yesterday and got a little bit more of an understanding of what he's doing. So the group he's in is living a little bit south of the city, and he's glad to not be right downtown so he can actually see some grass. But he has seen a lot of the sights and been downtown and enjoying that. So his group is working with a man who has planted a lot of churches, and they are going to be working this summer to pick out a neighborhood and pick out a place and find a place for a group to meet and try to plant a new church. So Amen. That's what he's going to be working on. And I also wanted to share that last Tuesday was 25 years to the day since Chris took a gamble on me. So it's been a good ride, and I still got the best guy. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think
I just want to say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his love and for his strength and Amen. For him just being in the midst of us. I just feel it so strong this morning. And I just thank Pastor Shoup and Judy for being here. I love them both dearly. And I just love the Lord and I praise his name.
I just want to remind the church that Graceland surgery is going to happen this week, and it was going to be Friday, but now they've upped it to Thursday. And you know what? We serve a great God, and Amen. As we prayed for this young Amen. Girl this morning, I believe that God can heal Graceland, and when she goes in tomorrow morning for this MRI that she has to be put under for, that they will say, you know what, Graceland, we don't find anything wrong. I believe that we serve a great God and that he's able to heal her too. So just remember little Graceland in your prayers.
Amen. Okay.
So many people, so little time.
I would like to have prayer for my niece's husband, Joel Hall. he had a really bad case of pancreatitis about a month ago, and we thought he was getting better, but it's starting to come back again, and he has to have a CAT scan done next week to see what they can do for him. He's in a lot of pain and really struggling with that, so I'd appreciate prayer for him.
Amen. God is still on the throne.
My mom is still in the hospital. As you know, she lives in Texas. She had back surgery in January. They found out they missed something. They went back in May 3rd. Then they hit her spine. She was leaking spinal fluid. They found out 8 days later that she had bacterial spinal meningitis because it got infected. And so she's been in there off and on since May 2nd. She only got to come home for about 12 hours, so she's really been in there the whole time. Found out on, I'm losing track, Tuesday, I think, that the spinal meningitis was back. So they're starting rounds of antibiotics again. They're hoping after a week of these new antibiotics, they can put her in a rehab center. But she has not walked since May 2nd.
Oh my.
So the physical therapy is going to be quite intense when she does get out. She's only 71, but she has a really long road after she can get rid of the infection.
I just want to thank the Lord for this church family. I think one of the things that we really strive to do here is to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And I think that that's what the family of God is all about. And this is the thing that we have 4 children, and they've all professed to be believers. And one of my sons has been here with his wife. And it's our prayer that our children, this next generation, understands how important the impact of a church family is.
Amen.
With COVID, we were all separated. We were all, you know. And I think that as Satan, as the prince and power of the air, works in this world today, that's one of the things, not only the breakdown of the family, but the breakdown of the church.
Yes.
And we need one another. And I guess this is my biggest prayer is that, and this is what we've stressed with our children, is that a church is not just a place to go on Sunday. It's not just a place to, you know, sing songs and hear a message and go out from there. No, a church is a family where we bear one another's burdens and we strive to be there for one another and we care about one another. And I guess I just want to say thank you to our family here and just to continue to pray that as this neighborhood is built behind us, it's no mistake that that's right there, you know, and that it's coming. It's our challenge as believers, as older believers, many of us, to reach out to this younger generation and to say, God, bring these people here. They need to hear the word. They need to know that they're loved. So I had the opportunity, and I hope I don't embarrass them back here, but Matt and Kaylee, I met them today. They're a young couple back here with two little precious little girls, and their mom lives in our neighborhood, you know, just around the corner. Dave and I walk by her house, Matt's mom, every day, and just the connections that we can make, and we wanted you to know that we love having you here. So thank you.
Again, I want to thank the church, everyone here, for all your prayers. And, you know, like I say, I want to give the Lord all the glory and praise for what all he's done for me and my wife through the years. But as you know, Joy had foot surgery, a complicated foot surgery here a couple months ago. And in dealing with that, you know, she's, you know, being on a scooter and whatnot, she has inflamed her right knee, which has a knee replacement. It's been in there for quite a few years, but it's given her a lot of pain and whatnot. So I just, you know, ask that you would all also keep Joy in your prayers to help her with what she's got going on. And thank you.
Amen. Okay.
So I knew that the Lord wanted me to say something, and I didn't know what it was because I'd had this burden on my heart. And something that Pam just shared brought it to my mind. The Lord wants us to be dependent on him. He wants us to reach each other and to help each other. In our society, people are becoming more and more independent. It's all about me. That's what they're being taught. Yesterday, I was at my neighbor's house, and she was babysitting her year-and-a-half-old granddaughter, and she gave her a pouch of food, and she said, this is what they're teaching the new parents, is that the babies are to be more independent and feed themselves. That's a concern for me, and maybe it's not for everybody, but what do we do when we rely only on ourselves? We need to rely on each other. We need to bring this next generation up to know that God's got us and that we as parents have our little ones, that they can rely on us. And they can't just be independent and depend on themselves. God gave those children parents. He gave us each other, and he gave himself for us to be dependent on him and know that he's got us, and we don't have to just rely on ourselves.
Amen.
And I praise him for that.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that we can come together and pray and seek him. And know that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. So we go to prayer this morning. with confidence, and that's what Hebrews 4:16 tells us, to come boldly to the throne of grace, to make our petitions known to him. And he says, you will find mercy, and that's what we need, is it not? But you'll also find grace to help us in our times of need. So let's pray together. I think let's stand together as we pray this morning, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can come to you knowing that you're listening to us. We have a personal relationship with you that enables us to come boldly to your throne and to make our needs and our cares known to you. And so I pray that you would help us this morning, and we listen to all these requests and the people that is going through very difficult times and struggling. We have people who are struggling in so many different ways. Many are struggling financially. Many are struggling because of illness. Many are struggling because of family concerns. Many are struggling in their spiritual lives, hungering and thirsting for something to satisfy. And we know the only way we can be satisfied is through a personal relationship with you. I think of Pastor Bob and his mother and what they're going through. And so I pray for them this morning also, that you would help each one of us to bear one another's burdens. What a privilege to come to you this morning and bring your family to you, asking you to meet every need. Many are here, I'm sure, that never expressed vocally a need, but deep inside they are searching for purpose and meaning in life. And so we pray that you would touch each one of us this morning, and whatever our needs are, you have promised to supply our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So once again, Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the power that's available to us. And I pray that you will use us in ways that will honor and glorify and exalt your precious name. And all that you do for us, our Father, we humbly praise you. We thank you again for the privilege of giving. And as we give this morning, may we realize this is an act of worship. We are worshiping you in our giving. And I pray that you will bless both gift and giver. And may you supply the needs, the financial needs of this ministry that will enable them to continue to move out into this world, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. So bless us as we give, bless us, we pray, and use us to glorify you. And we'll humbly praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was going to ask you if you give me some. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. The song I'll be singing, it's new to me. It's the first time I've sung it. I will glory in my Redeemer. And may it minister to you. Listen to the words. And as I go along here, so. I will glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that drove the bitter nails and hung him on the judgment tree. I will glory in my Redeemer, who crushed the power of sin and death. My only Savior, with the holy Judge, the Lamb who is my righteousness, Lamb who is my righteousness, I am your righteousness. I will glory my Redeemer, and life he born, my love he owes. I have no longing for another, I'm satisfied in him alone. I will glory in my Redeemer, his faithfulness, my standing place. Though foes are mighty and rush upon me, my feet are firm, held by his grace. Feet are firm, held by his grace. I will glory in my Redeemer, who carries me on eagle's wings. He crowns my life with loving kindness. This triumph song I'll ever sing. I will glory in my Redeemer, who waits for me at gates of gold. And when he calls me, it will be paradise. His feet forever home, face forever to behold. Amen.
Good to be here this morning to be with you. This church holds a very special place in my heart. Down through the years, I've been able to work with you different times. And it's always been a privilege to share with you what God's Word is able to do in our lives. I count it a privilege to preach God's Word. What a privilege that is. And I'm grateful for the times that we can spend together, knowing that He's in control. I am still learning, still searching. At my age, I'm still searching for God's plan for my life. Seems kind of strange, does it not? I mean, it seems you could sit down and say, okay, you've reached that point where you need to sit down and be quiet. But for some reason, I just can't do it. I have this burning inside of me to share God's Word with those who need Him. And I'm finding it more and more. People who are suffering, who are struggling, who need to hear from someone good news. We have enough bad news, don't we? So we need to spread the good news. And I came across a lady who I would meet her different times, And she was always the same. A big smile on her face. She was a greeter at the store. And so she would always smiling. So I got talking to her about that smile. I said, you know, it's really encouraging to see you smile. And yet each time as I talked to her and she began to share with me her life, come to find out she is suffering tremendously. She has trouble in her family. She goes home at night and she goes up to her room upstairs and she stays there until the next morning. And I tried to share with her, in fact, I have shared with her, how important it is that we have fellowship with people, and we've already heard about that this morning. We need each other, don't we? And I think the devil is doing everything he can to separate us. We're going through times now when we talk about COVID. Yeah, COVID was a problem, but God's bigger than COVID, my friend. And we need to make sure that we're putting our trust and confidence in him rather than in the government. The government will fail us, but God will never fail us. Amen? You believe that? So we're doing things now, and I know churches are upgrading their technology, and now they're streaming, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we're spending thousands of dollars so that we can stream the service into people's homes so they can stay home. They don't have to get up and come to church. They can get up and drink their coffee and stay at home. No fellowship. We need each other. And so maybe we need to spend more money reaching people to get them to be a part of the body of Christ. In fact, Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's a command to us, is it not? We really do need each other. And I pray that that we will find our churches reaching out. In fact, I've heard just the other day where it said there was, I forget how many it was, but a lot of churches has closed their doors because they are not able financially to keep the doors open. And then I read in this book where it says that Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And then he says that he's built his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have the victory, don't we? So we need to act on that, don't we? So the Word of God becomes very challenging. And sometimes we don't read the Word because we don't want to really know what it's saying to us. But I'm convinced that the more we read it, the more we can find help in our times of need. And yet the enemy will do everything he can to disrupt us, to get our attention. I take scripture. I take scripture for what it says. And so I read where Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray. Now, who am I going to pray to? I'm going to pray to my Father who sees in secret, and your Father who is in the secret place will reward you. And so that's what I do. I go into my room, 6:30 in the morning, shut the door, get on my knees generally, and pray and open my heart to him. But you know the amazing thing is? The enemy has ways of disrupting our quiet times. You ever think about that? When we can be alone with the Lord, and it seems like he has come to meet with you, the enemy is still trying to get you to think different things, to concentrate on other things. What am I going to do tomorrow? In fact, just recently, he used an unusual means to disrupt my time with the Lord. It was a red-headed woodpecker. At 6:30, I'm trying to concentrate on me and the Lord, and this thing's like a jackhammer out there on the tin with that red-headed woodpecker. So I went to the kitchen door. He flew away. And then he's in the back where I'm at. And the next day, he's there again, 6:30. He's pretty good timing. 6:30, he was there again. And you know what I said to the Lord? That's the devil doing that. So, Satan, you might as well get away. I'm not going to let you bother me anymore. And that's the last time I heard that woodpecker. So, Satan is alive and real, my friend, and he'll do everything he can, not always by a little old red-headed woodpecker, but in many different ways that he tries to disrupt us. And you know what I find is so important? That the more I am learning in my quiet times with the Lord, and I hear the Lord say, now you go and tell them what I'm telling you in this secret place. And so that's why I'm here this morning. I'm going to endeavor at least to tell you what God has been telling me. And so it's not my message, it's his message. It's not what I'm saying to you, but what is he saying to you? In fact, as I look at the life of Jesus, he did all kind of miracles. He taught and he preached and he did all kind of things. But you know what Jesus said? His main purpose in coming to this world, to glorify his Father so that we can have a personal relationship with his Father. In fact, Jesus said, the words that I speak, it's not me speaking, it's my Father speaking through me. And it's not me doing the works, it is my Father doing his works through me. So if Jesus had that concept, then we need to realize that God wants to use us, not always as preachers, but as witnesses. All of us has been called to be a witness for him. Amen? Wherever we're at, and maybe just a smile, but God has a purpose for this church. He has a purpose for your life. And it's not by chance that you're here this morning. God has ordained you to be here for some reason. And I trust that God will speak to you this morning through his word. So if you turn to me, do you have your Bibles? People don't carry Bibles anymore, do they? Do they? I was listening to Billy Graham this week, and he was preaching in Chicago, Illinois, I think in the 80s. Had 40,000 people in a stadium. And he was, you know what he was said? How many has your Bible tonight? And he talked, almost everybody in that stadium raised their Bible. But we've kind of done away with that now, haven't we not? And we don't, but I still like to carry it. I like to carry the book, the Bible I'm reading, so that the Holy Spirit can speak to me when I listen to someone preaching. So if you turn with me to, I'm going to be using different scriptures, but basically we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses four, beginning with verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Really, I want to talk to you this morning about prayer, because I believe that prayer is so vitally important to us, and yet I'm also convinced that the enemy will do everything he can to keep us from praying. Prayer, to me, is a personal relationship with God whereby I am talking to him, and when I read his word, then he is talking to me. And he talks to me through his Holy Spirit also, of course. But this personal relationship with him, and I'm reading this little book called How to Pray. I'm telling you, it is a challenge. It is written by R.A. Torrey. How to Pray. If you can have an opportunity to pick it up, I would challenge you to do that, because it will be a challenge to you. But what we want to look at this morning is the Apostle Paul and Paul's experience with Jesus as he began that relationship with him. So in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, look at what he says. He starts out by, for this reason. So when I read that, then what is the reason? For this reason, he said, this is what I'm going to say to you. So I went back and looked, okay, what is the reason he's writing this to them? It is a concept of prayer, but why is he now saying, for this reason? He goes on to say, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. What is the reason why he is praying for the Ephesian church? So if you go back to chapter 3 and verse 7, look at what Paul is saying. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. So while Paul goes back to his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, at that time Paul was doing everything he could to destroy the church, to destroy this way. But he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was never the same again. And I can say to you this morning, my friend, when we have an encounter with him, it will totally change us. I know from experience, and I shared with you my hospital experience, but I can't get over that. When the pain was so severe that I could not bear it, I didn't know what I was going to do. I really wasn't calling out to God at the time. I just didn't know how I was going to handle it. And when Jesus showed up on the wall, and he was there for probably 30 or 40 seconds, and when he left, he took my pain with him, and I went to sleep and slept for 3 hours until they came in to get some more blood. And I haven't taken the pain pill since. So I had an encounter with Jesus that has totally changed my outlook for the future. And I'm grateful for that experience because it gives me opportunity now. Total strangers. I get talking to total strangers and share with them my story of my encounter with Jesus. He is real, my friend, and he's able to do what we can't do. When we come to the end of our abilities, then Jesus can step in and take us on and give us victory. Do you believe that? Amen. Praise his name. So Paul is saying, I became a servant. He wasn't before, but I became, in other words, on the road to Damascus, I became a servant of this gospel. How did he do it? By the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. There on the road to Damascus, Jesus came and called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. He goes on to say in verse 17, or he says, he came out serving. He said in verse 8, he says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, that's who he didn't think that way before. But he says, now I am less than the least. I'm not just the least of God's people. I am even less than the least of God's people. This grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. I like those words. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages has kept hidden in God who created all things. See, he's putting a lot of things in here, is he not? God the Father who has created all things. And then he tells them his intent in verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Hallelujah. What a promise that is to us, that we can take our needs to him and we can come to God with freedom and confidence and make our petitions known to him. And I believe God will hear and answer that kind of prayer. So notice what he says then as he prays for the Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 14. For this reason then, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. It's amazing to me how Paul became so proficient in understanding this wonderful plan of redemption that Steve has sung about. God was able to give to Paul through revelation exactly the message that he gave to those disciples who had followed Jesus for 3.5 years. Remember, he was converted on the road to Damascus, he didn't go and meet with the other disciples. He went off into Arabia for, I think, 14 years. And somehow during that time, what Paul received through revelation exactly agreed with the disciples who had walked with Jesus all of those years. So Paul is simply saying to us, from whom his whole family on earth is, derives its name, that precious and wonderful name. And then we look at this prayer now, and we'll notice that it's divided into four petitions, four needs. First of all, in verse 16, he says, here's what I pray for you. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In other words, this relationship is an inner relationship. It affects the heart. The Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is into our life that Jesus comes. It is into our life that the Holy Spirit comes and takes over in his sanctifying grace, enabling us to have the power that was promised to us through John the Baptist. John said, I indeed baptize you with water for repentance, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop in and loose. He will baptize you, yes, not with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that fire can burn within us, my friend. It is an inward relationship that changes us from the inside out. He comes to live within us. And Paul makes that very clear to them. And if I would kind of break that verse down a little differently and maybe word it, just to change the words around a little bit, here's what it said to me. Here is Paul's prayer. I pray that you may be strengthened with power. It's what we need, is it not? We need his power. It's not my power, it's his power. I can't do it in myself. I need his power. So Paul's prayer is not only for the Ephesian church, but for life in Christ's fellowship. Here is his prayer for you this morning. He is praying that you may be strengthened with power. How is he going to do that? Through his Spirit in your inner being. And the reason why he's doing it is according to the riches of his glory. Put it all together, my friend. That's an answer, is it not? When we're going through the difficult places, to realize that we can have strength with power, we can be strengthened with power through his Spirit who is living within us, and all of this is according to the riches of his glory. So what does this experience do, my friend? This experience really makes possible his holiness by his sanctifying power that cleanses us from the nature of sin and empowers us to walk with him and pleasing in his sight. But secondly, he goes on in verse 17 and says, he says, this is the second part. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So it's a faith experience, is it not? It's not what I want, but it's my faith in him. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for when the evidence is not yet seen. A couple of weeks ago, we were coming home from church and we was listening to Wall Builders. I don't know whether you are familiar with that group of people or not, but David Barton has written a lot about history and the forefathers and the kingdom. And he was talking about the lack of power within the church and how the church is losing its power and getting away from God's word. I would ask you this morning, I'm not asking you to hold up your hand, but let me just ask you, be honest with yourself, how much time do you spend in God's Word? It's a good question, is it not? In comparison to other things, this little instrument here I've got in my pocket, how much time do we spend in that compared to the Word of God? And so David Barton is really challenging us to get into the Word and to memorize the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to fight the devil, is it not? We can't always go to the book and read it to someone. But if we memorize it, then we can use God's word from memory. And so here I am, 91 years old, and I said to myself, I'm going to accept that challenge. Because he said, if you would, here's the challenge, just memorize one verse of scripture a week. And in 1 year, you would have memorized 52 new scriptures. Think about that. And so I began looking at that. And so I was reading Hebrews one day. And I know I may still kind of stumble over it a little bit. But I've written it down on papers. I got them in my pocket. I take them out and I go over them and over and over them. So, but I got a whole week to memorize one scripture. But he gave me two. It goes together. And so here it is. I'm going to try it on you. Can I practice on you? Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was not taken. No, Enoch was taken away. And he escaped death. Think about that. He was a young man, only 300 and some years old. But he, by faith, Enoch was taken away. And for he knew, and he escaped death. Before he was taken, though, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The next verse says, and I've thought about that word, pleasing God. The next verse says, for it is impossible, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I go over that again and again and again to make me realize that this is a faith journey, my friend. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so Paul is simply saying to the church here then, he's saying that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How's he going to do it? It's through faith. Do you realize that one of the most horrible sins we can have is unbelief? God says, this is what I will do, and we don't believe him. Parents, let me ask you, if you tell your children, okay, this is what I will do, and you say, Dad or Mom, I'm not going to believe you, how would it make you feel? How do you think he feels when he tells us these things? See, he tells me in John also, I think chapter 14, he said, you did not choose me. That's kind of a statement, is it not? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That's a promise, is it not? Can we believe that promise? You see, it's all hinged on the first part. Do we really believe what God says is truth and we accept it as truth? It may not always come just when we want it, but I am convinced that God will answer every prayer that we pray if we pray and really mean what we're praying, not maybe the way we ask him to, maybe not what we're asking for, but he will answer us one way or the other if we are persistent and persevere. God will say, sometimes you say, no, this is not my will. And so we accept, but he still answered, doesn't he? So whether he answers yes or no, he will still answer us. I'm convinced that he will do that. So what do? We accept it by faith. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 23, here what it said, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. But a promise is not. So Paul is trying to challenge us to get into our secret place, memorize God's word, allow the word of God. It is powerful than a two-edged sword, is it not? So we need to make sure that we're taking advantage of his word. Then thirdly, he goes on to say, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Have you ever tried to really understand God's love? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you look at the cross and you see that love being lived out in his Son. And he could say about his Son, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus made it possible, my friend, that we can come into the presence of God. We can know our Heavenly Father because of what Jesus has done for us. That's His love. I know that as far as human is concerned, we can't really fathom that. But look at the cross and you'll see the love that Jesus had for His Father and the love the Father has. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. Seldom ever will we die for an enemy, but it's while we were enemies of God that Jesus died for us. He took our sins, nailed them to the cross. He now forgives us if we will ask Him, just as if we had never sinned. I don't understand all that. There's things in my life that I'm sorry that I did, and I can't forget them. But you know, God will never bring up my sins again that I committed back there. What love that is, that God so loved the world that He gave the very best He had. And He asked us to give the very best that we have back to Him. That we may have power together with all the saints to grasp this, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You see, all of these then, these wonderful promises He gives to us, leads us then to recognize there is nothing impossible with God. Nothing impossible with Him. Fourthly, He goes on to say that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. That's His prayer for us. My concern is, are we living far below our possibilities? That we can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. All of God in us. But before we can have all of God, we have to give all of us to Him. That we surrender our wills, we surrender our very self to Him. I think of Paul writing in Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 20. He starts out by saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I'm now living in the flesh, how am I living? I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Not faith in Him, but the faith of the Son of God. It is His faith that is living in and through us. We have all the fullness of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness should dwell in us. In Colossians 2, 19, in verse 9, it says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Can we begin to grasp what Paul is praying for? Can we begin to grasp the power that is available to us if we are willing to surrender our all to Him? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, what do you have to do? You have to deny yourself, deny that self, and take up my cross, and take up your cross and follow me. It's not always easy. He doesn't say it'll be easy. My friend, I can tell you there's peace and comfort and hope in this walk with Him if we are allowing Him to teach us as we make this journey of life. In John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. What a privilege to serve Him. What a privilege to know Him as our personal Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, or chapter 6, and verse 17, listen to what Paul says. He says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them. I will be a God to them, and they shall be my people. Therefore, he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. in chapter 7, he goes on to say, therefore, having these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So it's available to us if we're willing to recognize that we, our bodies, are in fact the temple of the living God. God lives in us. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we are to go now and tell people what God has done for us, and he'll do the same for them if they're willing to die to themselves and allow the Holy Spirit to take control, cleanse them of the nature of sin, fill them with himself. You think of Jesus, what did he do? He was baptized, and what happened? The Holy Spirit came and stayed upon him. And what did he do then? The Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness, filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. For 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted of the devil. And after the 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And what did Satan do? He took advantage of his weakness. And he said, look at that stone. If you are the Son of God, then turn that stone into bread. And Jesus could have done it. What did he do? He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He used God's word every temptation. And then the scripture tells us he went into the wilderness filled with the Holy Spirit, and he came out to preach and to teach in the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a difference. We can be filled, but what about the power? Are we letting the power work in and through us? We need to make sure then that we are following what the Bible says and do the things that God has called us to do, and we can see this church grow. What if every one of us, what if every person here this morning would be willing to take this prayer, let it be lived out in your life, and be a witness out there? What would God do? Can't imagine what he could do. But God wants to use us in ways that honors and glorifies and exalts him. Paul closes his prayer in verse 20 in this way. Now, after all of this, now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a challenge. I've accepted that challenge to become whatever God wants me to do. And so, like I say, I'm searching, open to any place. I try this door, and it's locked. I go on to some other door. I keep searching, keep seeking. And God is opening doors now and letting me share the good news of the gospel. Sometimes one-on-one, several people, the lady at the bank, able to share my story with her. God is able to use our experiences. When we come out of that closet, God can use us in many ways to touch the lives of others. So I challenge you this morning, let God move in your life. Take time to be holy. Spend time alone with him and his word, and he will reward you, my friend, with his presence to those who diligently seek him. And we determine that, my friend. So as we sing that last song again, I just want to throw it out to you. If you would like to respond to that in any way, that is, if God is speaking to you, the altars are always open. You can come forward, whatever. But just listen to the words again and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Because I believe God wants to do a mighty work. I believe God wants to bring revival. Do you believe that? That's the only thing that's going to save us, my friend. We've got to have another Asbury movement of God's Spirit in the midst. The church has got to come alive, or we're going to go down the tube, I can tell you that, because that's God's method of awakening the world as a church. And if we're not the church, then God can't do his work. You remember what he says about the in chapter 15 of John's gospel? I am the vine and you are the branches. We cannot produce fruit until we as a branch are connected to the vine. And while the scripture doesn't say that, My little knowledge of farming tells me something else. The vine cannot produce fruit without the branches. You believe that? So the vine needs the branches, but the branches need the vine. Are we plugged into the vine? Is our lives producing fruit that will remain so that whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he may give it to us? I believe God will keep his word. If we'll do our part, if we'll keep his word, God will keep his word. I believe it. Let's sing it again, would you? Okay.
Yes, let's stand, shall we?
Yes.
The hymn of heaven.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today, shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. The mighty roar. Gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Thank you for coming this morning. I was listening to Billy Graham this week, and he made a statement. He said that life, what is life? Life is that short time between two eternities. Think about that. Whether there's 91 years or whether there's 10 years, it's all the time we have to make it into that city. And we talk about pain. We will go any length to get rid of pain. But my Bible tells me in heaven there is no pain. But in hell, that's all there is pain. For eternity. In this short time we have to make preparation. Are we really serving him, or are we going through the motion? And each one of us will stand before God one day and will give an account of our life here. I am convinced I won't be able to stand and say, well, I preached your word. No, we know that doesn't work. Jesus, those said, I've cast out demons in your name. He said, I never knew you. I believe when I stand before him, it'll not be what I've done, but why am I doing it? Why am I open to preaching the gospel? Is it to be heard, to be seen, or is it to glorify him? And that's my motive, my friend. Whatever I do, I want some others to know my Father, who is so precious to me. Praise his name. Dave, would you dismiss us in prayer today, friend?
Father, help us to be renewed and refreshed because we've heard your word this morning. Help us to take it to heart. Help us to look at your word and understand it and read it. And as Pastor said, memorize it. And we need to be used. We need the fellowship of a church, but we need to take what you've taught us and given us and go out and share it with the people that come in our contact. Lord, we need you this morning. We praise you for what you're going to do. Go before us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.